Hey, everybody. Welcome back to On Deck, the PC gaming podcast, where we talk all about the Steam Deck. I hope that you all are having a fantastic day. It is September 19th, and I am recording this live over at my YouTube channel, Nerdnest, youtube.com/nerdnest. Listen, if you have not yet subscribed to the YouTube channel, please do me a favor. Head on over there and click on subscribe. We just hit 26,000 subscribers while I was waiting to go live, so you guys are fantastic. I really do appreciate it. But we have a lot of news to cover today. And I already had to change like the thumbnail and stuff for the YouTube video because some news came out today that I think is going to have a lot of you exceedingly happy. And that is this news right off the top of the show. I got to show you guys this. This is so good. This came out. Steam Deck shipping update. Hello, just a quick note about shipping today. As some folks on the internet have noticed, we see you, Reddit. We're speeding through reservations at an accelerated pace. This is due to increased production, and we've beaten our estimates yet again. With today's batch of emails, we've now sent invitations for all reservations in the Q3 July to September bucket. Now that Q3 is done early, we're going to get a head start on the next set of reservations, and we are fulfilling reservations that were scheduled for the Q4 window. We've updated the store page to reflect this with updated bucket description September to December. Thanks. That's it for today. More to come. And man, Q4 has officially started. If you have not come to the live shows, then please do so. I have a poll going right now, whether or not people either already have their deck or they got their emails or they haven't gotten their emails yet. And at the end of the show, I will let you know where that poll stands. It's going to be running throughout the entire show. And usually there's a couple hundred people here, so we should get pretty decent results with that. But yeah. Q4 is now here. Usually we were expecting that to be October to December, but you know, they got a couple weeks early and they are pushing right on through. And it is just really, really, surprising. The idea that Valve is able to increase production so much or beat their production estimates so much that they're able to, ship out stuff weeks early. This is in the same time when everybody else is struggling to get their computer hardware on the market. So I just think it's absolutely fantastic that we have that going on. And that's obviously like the biggest story today is the idea that Valve has beat their expectations yet again. All right, let's move on and talk about, oh my gosh, something else that I wanted to add to the top of the show. I can't believe that I almost forgot this. let me type this in right real quick. Steam Deck patch notes. I typed this in yesterday, and a lot of you have already seen this, but I typed in Steam Deck patch notes yesterday as I was getting doing all of the art and stuff for this. And I had everything basically done and ready for today's show. And then I was like, okay, let's go ahead and check the patch notes and see if anything big has happened. And on the 15th, we had a huge change to the Steam Deck. And I have a full tutorial on the YouTube channel to show you guys how this works. But they have overhauled the virtual menus in Steam Input on the 15th. And it is everything that I was hoping for and more. If you have been watching this show for any length of time, then you know that one of my main complaints about the Steam Deck is that you could make these virtual menus on Steam Input with the new Steam Input, but it wasn't as good as the old Steam Input. And all I wanted Valve to do was make it as good as the old Steam Input. And I even emailed somebody at Valve, and they had somebody from the input team reach out to me and said, hey, yeah, Bill, we are working on making the radial menus and virtual menus to be just as good as it was before. But that was back more than six months ago at this point. And I was like, well, I'm sure that they are working on it, but it's not here yet. Well, it's here. It's here, and not only is it as good as it was before, it is better than it was before. And there's a couple of reasons why it's better. Number one, just going through the icons, instead of being in one giant long list, which is how it used to be on the old Steam input, now they are separated into categories. So it's much easier for you to remember, oh, that's right, this is the icon that I used for the running icon or whatever. That's over here. I can easily get to that by going over to this tab, and then it's like on the fourth row down. And after you make enough of these virtual menus, that's going to become old hat to you. So not only like that's like one thing, but that's like the tiniest thing. The other reason why this is so much better than it was before is because whenever you were making a radial menu or a touch input menu in the past, what you would do is you would like say select the left trackpad. And then you would start crafting that menu there. And then maybe later on you'd be like, you know what? I think I want to have that only when I'm on the right trackpad instead. And so what you would have to do is go into the right trackpad and recreate everything from the ground up. Well, that's not what you have to do anymore. Now it's so much better. You create the menu separate from the actual interface that you are making the menu for. And then you name that menu and you can assign that menu to whatever input that you want. So if I decide that I want to move it from the left trackpad to the right trackpad, that is literally like four clicks and I'm done, instead of having to recreate everything from the ground up, which if you've never made a radial menu or some, or a touch menu, like you can go in and like set icons and name it and set colors and stuff like that. And it's fantastic. But if you have to recreate all that, man, sometimes I've just been like, forget it. I'm not going to bother. I don't want to. So that is a huge change, and it is extremely welcome. And I went through and I did a full tutorial on it, which you guys can find over on the YouTube channel. I think that, well, like 50,000 people watched it in like less than 24 hours. So clearly you guys like that tutorial. Make sure that you check it out if you have not. And just real quick, big thank you to everybody who's already here. All right, moving on. I want to talk about the about what's on deck. What games have I been playing? And I ended up picking up the 2K bundle, and I picked it up for Borderlands, but I also picked it up for Civ 6. And I have been playing Civ 6 on my Steam Deck just a little bit. I've just started playing it. It runs beautifully, and it's a very, very pretty game. I really, really like the, like, everything looks nice and crisp as I'm playing. This game plays really well on the deck. I've been using just the right touchpad as the mouse input and just kind of going through and just very relaxing as I play. I go through and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to send these guys on an automatic recon thing, and then I'm going to select these workers and assign them to, you know, build like a farm or something like that. And look, I am terrible at these kind of games. I usually start and then I lose interest, but I feel like because I'm playing it on a portable device, I'm much more likely to be able to pick it up and continue playing it. So Civ 6 right now, if you didn't know, if you are watching this live, then you got 1 day and 4 hours to try it out for free. It is available for you to just download off the Steam store just to try for 1 day and 4 hours. If you're watching it after the fact, I'm sorry if you missed out on it. It's a really good game. It's only $8, but it is also part of the 2K Mega Hits bundle, which includes, I've talked about this in previous videos, it includes Borderlands 3, XCOM, 2K, PGA Tour 2K21, BioShock the Collection, Civ 6, and a bunch of other games for like, I think it's $16. That's a ridiculously good deal. If you end up picking up this bundle, there is a link in the description down below. If you are watching this on the YouTube channel, there will also be a link in the show notes if you are a audio listener. Use that link and you will directly be supporting the show and, you know, getting a bunch of games for cheap. This is only available for, I think, 3 more days before it disappears. So you're going to want to hop on this before long. All right. The last thing that I want to talk about from the off the top kind of thing is this tweet from Lawrence Yang. Valve had recently shown off like this little drawing that they had made of the Steam Deck. Like they gave him a body and a face on the screen and they called it Steam Pal. And I thought it was really cool. They showed it is that book that they had released that I talked about on a previous episode. And I thought it was really, really cool. But now you can see like Valve is making keychains of this thing. Valve, listen, please give us a way to buy this thing. I want this keychain for my backpack. It's so cool. This little Steam Pal. And Lawrence Yang was tweeting out, time to head home, Pal Chan. You might be wondering, where is Lawrence Yang heading home from? I will talk about that in a little bit. We are not quite there. All right. With all of the off-the-top stuff out of the way, now I want to talk about the stories that you all have sent in. You might be wondering, how do I send in stories for the show? Well, guess what? It's super easy. Head on over to nerdnest.tv/submit and send in the topics that you want me to cover on the show. I open up the spreadsheet and I look for topics that are interesting and I put those in the show notes. And the first one comes into us from Stephen Wardlaw. They said, hey, Bill, I have had my Steam Deck for a few months and I love it. Love tinkering with it and emulate my stuff on it. Changing settings to get the best battery life and performance. My wife is about to get hers and she is the opposite from me. She would want to download a game and play it. That simple. Do you feel like Valve should cater more to a casual user, make optimizing settings easier, or introduce custom settings profiles? Stephen Wardlaw. So, Stephen, before I really answer your question, it's awesome that you've got one and that you are having a fun time with it and that your wife is looking forward to it as well. I'm curious what when you have both of them and they arrive, I'm curious how, like, if you guys have tried the streaming version of it where one of you owns the game, the other one does not, and then you stream it to the other. I want to know what your experience is with that. I think it's really awesome that we can do that. Now, your question about should Valve make, more cater to the casual audience? I'm going to say no. They don't need, this is not a thing that Valve needs to do. But what Valve should do is encourage the developers to cater more to the casual audience. So how do they do that? Well, they do that with that wonderful green check mark. When if a publisher and a dev, they work together and they're like, all right, we're going to specifically target the Steam Deck. And then they submit their application, have something in the application for getting your game verified by Valve, something in there, have a check mark to say, have you targeted the Steam Deck specifically with a custom bespoke profile? And if that answer is yes, boom, you go to the front of the line. If it turns out if that profile, that Steam Deck specific profile, doesn't target the Steam Deck very well, you get right back to the back of the line again, in my opinion. Because here's what we've run into before. And I talked about this previously. When Cyberpunk 2077 first came to the Steam Deck, they had a Steam Deck profile and it incorrectly cranked all of the settings up to ultra. Well, recently they had patched it. And when they patched it, they actually did the correct, like they, it was basically a bug and they had correctly set it up so that it would detect that you were running on a Steam Deck and then essentially the game would run at 30 frames per second locked. And it worked incredibly well. And I have to say, if Cyberpunk 2077 launched in the state that it is today, man, people would be really, really praising that game. By the way, game's on sale on Humble if you haven't clicked on that link down below. Anyway, so when my experience where I went to go play it on the Steam Deck before the patch, and I was like having frustration where it was like everything was ultra settings and I'm messing with all of the settings and trying to make it better and, you know, locking things to 40 frames per second. It wasn't a bad experience for me, but for somebody like your wife, Steven, that could be a very bad experience for them. And that might turn them completely away. So while I don't think that Valve needs to do it, Valve needs to encourage publishers and developers to specifically target the Steam Deck. Now, part of that is already going to happen because the Steam Deck is wildly popular. People are constantly talking about it online. And because of that, devs are going to want to ride that gravy train. They're going to want to get on the coattails of the Steam Deck and ride that right into more sales. So a lot of people are going to be targeting that. But it would be really good for Valve to encourage devs to do that as well. So I really do hope that devs do that, but I hope they do a better job than Cyberpunk 2077 did the first time around. Michael Muir in chat says, the green check is great, but there are some that have it and have broken it, and they still have the green check. Yes, I agree with that. I do think that Valve has to do something about that, where they do have a mechanism in place where when you're playing a game that is verified and then you finish playing the game, it'll say, hey, we have this listed as verified. Do you agree with that assessment? And then you say yes or no. Unfortunately, a lot of people just ignore that. If more people are getting a bad experience to a verified game and they hit that button that says, no, this is not a verified experience, hopefully that sends a signal to Valve to reevaluate a game and say, you know what, this is probably playable instead of verified. And then they'll send a message to the publisher. The publisher then can update things and make it better. And that's what I really, really do hope to see. All right. Let's move on to our second main topic today. And
this episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Our second main topic today comes to us from Ranch, delicious on carrots. Bill, there is a widely reported but not often talked about issue where certain USB-C hubs and other unsupported accessories are doing permanent hardware damage to the Steam Deck, causing, amongst other problems, decks to permanently limit CPU to 400 megahertz and GPU to 200 megahertz. Several supported fixes are available, but many people are simply being forced to RMA, myself included. Ranch, thank you so much for sending that in. So I'm going to give a little background before I get into my thoughts on this. When the Nintendo Switch first came out, there were some people who were a lot of third-party manufacturers that were like, you know what, I'm going to make a dock for the Nintendo Switch. But Nintendo didn't follow, this is my understanding of it, maybe I'm wrong about this, Nintendo didn't 100% follow the USB-C settings, or not settings, what is the word that I'm looking for? I'm sure somebody's in chat is going to come up with it. They didn't follow the standards, essentially, with USB-C. And because of that, there were standard USB-C devices that screwed up the Nintendo Switch and were essentially bricking Nintendo Switches. When Valve announced the Steam Deck, you know, they got on IGN and they sat there and they were interviewed and everything. Specification. Ianto Joe's in chat says specifications. That is the word that I was looking for. When Valve announced the Steam Deck, one of the things that they said is, hey, this is standard compliant USB-C. If you are using a device that is standard compliant USB-C, you should be good. The only issue arises is when you have like these cheap knockoff USB-C things, and we've all like bought stuff off of Amazon and it comes in and it's like just junk. I mean, the standard thing that probably a lot of people are familiar with is like SD cards. You buy an SD card and you're essentially getting a counterfeit SD card that doesn't actually have the storage that they sold you. And like, can Amazon do anything about that? I don't know. But it's not just SD cards. There's lots of different things out there that you can buy that are not standards compliant, and there's no way for us to really know. And most people don't even understand that, like, there are standards for USB-C. They just assume, oh, I bought a USB-C thing, it must be good. So absolutely, you want to be careful. Whoops, I almost clicked on that. You want to be careful when buying a device to hook up to your Steam Deck. Now, I have my Steam Deck dock. It is, and we'll talk more about the official Steam Deck dock in a little bit. I have my Steam Deck dock, which is the Gen 1 JSOX Steam Deck dock that they sent to me as a review unit. I've had zero problems with that. I've had absolutely no problems with that. But I have heard of other people who have had problems, not with the Steam Deck dock, but with other devices. And one of those other devices would be just like a crappy USB-C dongle. This comes to us from Reddit. It was basically a post where they were talking about it, and they said, after much troubleshooting, I was able to recreate exactly how this is happening, at least for me. It appears that a faulty USB-C dongle was the cause of all of my issues here. Some USB-C dongles are causing Steam Deck to get stuck in a bad power delivery state, and they require users to either drain the CMOS battery by unplugging the battery or by following the steps that were provided by Valve. So it looks like if you get a bad USB-C adapter, it is possible that you could force your Steam Deck into a bad power state. And then the only way to fix it is either RMA your Steam Deck or open it up, detach the battery in order to let the CMOS, because the CMOS is essentially, even if your Steam Deck dies, it still has its own battery backup. And so you have to like take that battery out in order to let the CMOS reset itself, plug it back in, turn it back on, and you should be good to go. Don't do it based on what I'm saying. Do it based on something that Valve tells you to do. But that is a really important thing to keep in mind. So when you're buying it, when you're buying whatever it is that you're buying to hook up to your Steam Deck, just be careful. Ventura in chat says, to be fair, a lot of people don't really know how much a dock should cost. For some, $15 for a USB-C dongle sounds like an acceptable price. It'll probably take time for people to adapt like with SDs. That's absolutely true. A lot of people, they just look on Amazon and they're like, oh yeah, this one's cheap, I'll get that one. Why? I mean, it's just a port thing. I plug it into the port and then I plug other things into it. It doesn't do anything. Why does it matter how much it costs? And yeah, so they end up buying like the cheapest one that they can find. Well, there's a reason why it's cheaper than all of the others. All right, let's move on and talk about our third main topic today. And that topic comes in to us from Zombie Zulu. They said, Bill, I don't have my Steam Deck yet. Well, by the time that they hear this, maybe they will. Maybe they're in that Q3, beginning of Q4 group. I almost canceled my order to buy an Aya Neo Air because I like the form factor better. Then I saw this video from Digital Foundry. It looks like the $400 Steam Deck is trouncing the $900 Aya Neo Air Pro. At this point, I don't know if anyone can compete with the Steam Deck on price alone. How is Valve selling the Steam Deck for so little? Thanks so much for sending that in. Yeah, all right. So I'm going to answer your question, then I want to talk about the Aya Neo Air. How is Valve selling the Steam Deck for so little? When they announced it back, whenever that was, I can't remember now. You know, one of the things that Gabe Newell said, like he was sitting there, he was talking to IGN, and he said, yeah, that price point is really painful, especially the $400 one. I'm just guessing. I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that it costs Valve more than $400 to make that cheaper one that they are then selling for $400. So therefore, they are losing money on every single sale of the cheapest one. And I'm guessing that they are making money on the other two. Or maybe at least they're making money on the most expensive one, which is probably why they're so excited that the most expensive one was the one that was selling way more than they anticipated. He said it was a painful price point. Why is it painful? Well, if they're losing money on it, that's going to be painful. How can they sell a device for less than it costs to make? Well, the same reason that you can sell a PlayStation 5 for less than it costs to make. It costs more to make an Xbox Series X than it actually does, than they actually sell for. So how do they do that? Well, because they're making up the money on the sale of the games. When you look at the other competition in the portable gaming market, without looking at the Nintendo Switch, because they're a unicorn, you look at all of the other portable PCs out there, not talking about laptops, they're all really expensive. And the reason they're all really expensive is because they don't make any money from game sales. Valve makes money from game sales. So Valve has the ability to sell the Steam Deck at a loss, because they know what's going to happen is the people who have the Steam Deck are then going to be buying games through the Valve store. They don't require you to buy games through the Steam store, but they know that most people are going to use it that way because that's the easiest way to get your games onto the system. You don't have to do any workarounds at all. You just go to that green check mark, you buy it, and your games should, for the most part, work. Valve knows that. And so that means that they are capturing customers that otherwise were not spending money on Steam. And by capturing those customers, they're now those customers are now spending money on Steam. And so over the lifetime sales for that particular customer, they're going to make way more money than they would on the initial sale of the Steam Deck. So why can't anybody, why is everybody else so much more expensive? That's the reason. Everybody's more expensive because they don't have the Steam store to back it up. The only company I can see that could possibly ship one of these and compete with Valve, and even then it would be tough, would be Epic, because they have a big game store. You got to have a big game store to back up your hardware, or you have to sell the hardware at a higher premium cost. Otherwise, your margins are just going to be too small, and even a little tiny hiccup is going to wreck your company. So why can't they do it? That's the reason why. Now, I want to talk about the Aya Neo Air Pro, or the Aya Neo, it doesn't matter, the Aya Neo Air thing, all right? You mentioned that you like the form factor better. This thing is essentially the same size as a Nintendo Switch Lite. It has the same layout as a Nintendo Switch Lite, which I personally don't like. It's got the offset joysticks, which on a portable system, in my opinion, does not make a lot of sense. It has a apparently gorgeous OLED display, but it is a little bit underpowered when compared to the Steam Deck, which is weird because by numbers, it should be pretty good. Now, I watched the Digital Foundry video that Laser Lizard, I can't remember their name now, that whoever it was, I watched the Digital Foundry video, and they were showing that, you know, it wasn't, I mean, you said it was trouncing, but it wasn't trouncing. It was the Steam Deck was doing better, even though it had like fewer cores or whatever. And I am not a hardware guy. Why is it able to do that? You know, that's really a question for, you know, somebody like the Fox who looks at hardware a lot. But when I look at this and I see that the Steam Deck is performing better, mostly I think it's probably because Valve decided to prioritize the GPU instead of the CPU. And some games are going to bottleneck at the CPU and some games are going to bottleneck at the GPU. And it just happened that Digital Foundry tested games that mostly bottlenecked at the GPU or at the GPU level. And so the Aya Neo Air Pro at a similar TDP was not able to perform as well as the Steam Deck at the same TDP. Does that mean that the Steam Deck is better? No, I don't think so. But there's other reasons why I do think the Steam Deck is better for me. Number one, the screen size. The Steam Deck has a bigger screen, and that bigger screen, at least I think it has a bigger screen. Boy, there's a lot of games that I go to play on the Steam Deck, and reading the text is a little too hard for me, because these are games that are made with a computer screen in mind. They're not made with these little screens in mind. And I think that the Aya Neo Air has a smaller screen than the Steam Deck, which makes it harder to see stuff. That has nothing to do with power. That's just one reason why I think the Steam Deck is better. Another reason, in my opinion, that the Steam Deck is better, and all of the people who are here in chat, the couple of hundred, 300 people right now who are here in chat, I know that they're going to say, Bill loves the trackpads. Yes, I love Steam input. This is the thing that Valve has over everybody else, is the input methods that allows you to play games that otherwise would not be playable on a portable device like this. So absolutely, it has to be the trackpads. The Aya Neo Air does not have those trackpads. It has two sticks. It has face buttons. It has a D-pad, but it does not have the trackpads. And for me, the trackpads are a game changer 100% of the time. Now, I have to say, without a doubt, if you haven't watched the video on Digital Foundry, it's super interesting, and they always go into so much detail. So I'm like barely scratching the surface. Like if this was a scratch a sniff sticker, we wouldn't smell anything right now. Young people who are watching this, they're like, what the hell is a scratch and sniff sticker? Ask your parents. Anyway, I think that the Aya Neo Air and a lot of the other companies, they just cannot compete with the Steam Deck on price. And because of that, Valve is just going to run away with this market until they get some real competition on price. It's just too hard for anybody to compete there. That being said, are there going to be devices that come out that are going to be more powerful than the Steam Deck, that are going to trounce the Steam Deck in terms of power? Yeah, but you are going to be paying for that with a lot of money. All right, let's move on to our fourth main topic today. And our fourth main topic today comes into us from Tony Pearson. They said, hey, Bill, with Tokyo Game Show back, Valve went there and had a massive display. It was pretty well received. They even built a giant Steam Deck, then had over 150 Steam Decks that people could grab and play. I've never been to E3, PAX, or Tokyo Game Show, but this kind of thing really makes me want to go. Have you ever been to a gaming convention? Love the show. Tony Pearson. P.S. Can you do the live shows earlier so I can watch them on my lunch break? No, I can't. This is the time that works best for my schedule, and I'm sorry, that just means that we're going to have to miss out on having Tony at the live shows, but hey, you can always watch after the fact, and I appreciate that you want to come to the live shows. If you are curious about the live shows, go to the YouTube channel and turn on the little notification, because sometimes I do a live show where it's just, you know, me playing a game or something, and that can be at any time. So make sure that you turn on that stuff so that you get notified. All right. Where was I going here? Oh, yeah. Have I ever been to a gaming convention? No, I haven't been to a gaming convention. The closest would be when I was asked to go speak at Dragon Con in Atlanta, Georgia. That was the year before the pandemic hit. So I think it was 2019. It might have been 2018. I can't remember which year. It was a long time ago. But I went to Dragon Con, and oh my God, I had so much fun. It's not really a gaming convention, but I went there as part of the digital media track to talk about like how to do podcasting and stuff like that. And I had so much fun, and I haven't been back since, mostly because of the pandemic, and it's always on Labor Day. And as a teacher, like Labor Day weekend is hard for me to go to Georgia. but anyway, I haven't been to E3. I've never been to PAX, and I've never been to any other gaming conventions. Oh no, that's a lie. I completely forgot. I've been to Retro Game Con. It takes place in Syracuse, New York. I think that there's one happening in October, and I may go to that, but that's really, really small. And when I was there, I interviewed Patricia Somerset, the voice actress who does the voice of Zelda in Breath of the Wild. So that was fun. But other than that, I've never been to a gaming convention. But let's talk about Tokyo Game Show, because sure enough, Valve was there. And yeah, they built a giant Steam Deck. Now, Lawrence Yang had tweeted out images of the giant Steam Deck that they were like when it was still under construction. And when I saw it, I was like, I kind of replied and I said, oh, missed opportunity. You should have like made it hollow so that people could walk into it and then have their picture taken inside the Steam Deck. But then they put a giant TV screen in it and hoisted it up over the show floor. This thing is massive. It is absolutely massive. And it was over the show floor. And sure enough, they had these cool swag bags with the little keychain guy there. They had a quick video to look at. And then you could grab one of 100 Steam Decks off the wall, go find a seat, and play a game. And I just think that that was a really, really cool thing. Now, that's not why everybody was talking about Valve at Tokyo Game Show. The reason why everybody was talking about Valve at Tokyo Game Show is because somebody snapped a picture of the official Steam Deck dock. See, I told you that we would get to the Steam Deck dock today, or the official one. And I want to talk about that official Steam Deck dock because, man, first off, I saw a lot of people complaining about the Steam Deck dock. Well, here, let's get the thing that came in from the viewer. KDL3 said, at the Tokyo Game Show, Valve built a giant Steam Deck, which is cool. But the real important part of Tokyo Game Show was that they had the official Steam Deck docking station there. It looks like it has three USB well, that's not correct. USB-C ports. It does not have three USB-C ports. It has three USB ports, Ethernet, one USB-C port for power, HDMI, and a display port. Do you think that they're going to come out soon since we're seeing them at the Tokyo Game Show? KDL3, thank you so much for sending that in. Do I think that we will see them soon? I don't know. I have said on the show in the past that I suspect, I could be totally wrong about this, I suspect that Valve has not released this, not necessarily because they are having trouble getting the parts together, although it's perfectly reasonable that they're having trouble getting the parts together because everybody and their brother is trying to make Steam Deck docks right now, right? So that makes it harder for Valve to get the parts that they need. Of course, Valve is a big company and they could come in swinging and like say, hey, I want to buy this many parts. And then the suppliers are all going to be like, well, I guess I'm not going to sell them to, I don't know, like JSOX or some other company that's selling docks right now. I'll sell them to Valve because Valve is going to buy a lot more. On the other hand, I don't think that these companies that are part supplier for things like the Steam Deck dock, I don't think that they're having any trouble moving inventory, and so maybe it doesn't work like that. I am not a supply chain specialist. I know nothing about that stuff. Do I think that they will sell them soon? I don't know if they will sell them soon. I would like them to sell them soon because I think it would give people a peace of mind to say, hey, I've got a little peace of mind here because I'm getting the official Steam Deck dock, and then I don't have to worry about that stuff that, you know, that Bill was talking about earlier on the show. That would make people feel better. People like to have the official stuff. I am one of those people. I like to have the official stuff. I'm lucky that I have the JSOX one, but if I had to choose between that one and the official one, I would probably get the official one because all things considered, they're really not that different to me. Let's talk about what's in the Steam Deck dock. We've talked about this before. Here we've got a picture. This is from Reddit that somebody had sent. There are a couple of differences here. First off, you can see that we have three USB ports, two that are horizontal and then one to the vertical. And then to the left of that, we have an Ethernet port. Then we have the power cord, which is USB-C, followed by I'm going right to left here for some reason. I don't know why. Followed by HDMI and then display port. Now, listen, if you know the reason, feel free to educate us all in the comments down below if you're watching this on the YouTube channel or at me on Twitter. I'm at RunJumpStomp or at NerdNest.tv on Twitter. I don't know the difference between – I mean, I know the difference between DisplayPort and HDMI. I know that there's, like, different versions of DisplayPort. There's different versions of HDMI, and then different ones have different bandwidth. I don't know why you would pick one over the other. Feel free to educate us. The dock I have – has a slower Ethernet, it has fewer USB ports, and it does not have DisplayPort, which I'm assuming is better. Let me know. I don't know. But yeah, like it looks like Valve has the Steam Deck docks. I don't think that that's a good indicator that they're ready to ship them. I've said it a million times on the show. I think that the reason that they're not ready to ship them is really more to do with the fact that the docking experience is not as good as it could be. And a little more software stuff has to happen first. But maybe I'm wrong about that. Maybe Valve is literally just having trouble getting the parts that they need for this. Athen Immortal in chat. See, I knew people were going to know this. Says DisplayPort is more likely to be on a PC monitor. Lots of PC monitors don't have HDMI. I think it's just a compatibility thing. My PC monitor, I've got two 4K PC monitors in front of me. They both have a DisplayPort and two HDMI ports. Maybe you're right about that. F15 in chat says DisplayPort is royalty free, so it's usually cheaper to produce. Also very interesting there. And Danny in chat says higher frame rate, plug it into the computer. So there's a lot of reasons why you might want DisplayPort over HDMI, it looks like. But hey, it has both of them. When is it going to come out? That is the big question that people keep wondering. We don't know when it's going to come out. And as soon as it does, you can be sure that I will talk about it here on the show. All right. I have to say, I didn't bring it up before I started the show, which was a mistake on my part. I have to say thank you to Geek to Sneak and Mark Miller for rejoining or remembering here on the YouTube channel. And I have to say a huge thank you to the 340 people that are here for the live show. You guys could have spent your day anywhere. You could have spent this last hour anywhere that you wanted. You decided to hang out with me, and I really do appreciate you for that. Listen, if you want to get the show ad-free, the audio podcast, super easy to do. Head on over to patreon.com/nerdnest, and you can get audio episodes of the show without any ads in them whatsoever for as little as $1 a month. I also want to say, if you have yet to subscribe to Games with Bill, it is my almost daily micro podcast about the video game industry. Each episode, I talk about one video game industry topic for hopefully less than 10 minutes. That show has been really, really growing. And if everybody who watched the YouTube channel and subscribed to On Deck, subscribed to Games with Bill as well, oof, that would be absolutely crazy. Anyway, that does it for today's episode of On Deck. I really do appreciate all of you hanging out with me here today. You guys are awesome. I will see you on the next one. Until then, stay rad, everybody. From the Nerd Nest, I'm Bill.